Welcome this morning to the Divine Service for the first Sunday after Christmas. It is time now to, as we have passed from the world into heavenly things, to turn our hearts and minds from earthly cares and worries to the things of God. And let us now begin our worship with the singing of our opening hymn, "We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God."
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, December 28, 2025, worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Ron Estel, Janet Estel, and Terry Biggs. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 941, "We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God," number 941 in the Lutheran Service Book. Josh and Rachel and Caleb Walker are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in thanksgiving for all of their blessings this past year.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I,
poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray to you, Lord God, for mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent figures of
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
Thank you.
be with you. Let us pray. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 63rd chapter, beginning at the 7th verse. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel that he has granted them, according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock, they go down into the valley. The Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Ten Commandments, what is the Eighth Commandment?
You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor.
What does this mean?
We should fear God, so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation,
but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest possible way. The epistle reading from Galatians, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 4th verse. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 2nd chapter. When the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth. That was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. This is the gospel of the Lord. The gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
From the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our hymn.
Thank you.
sermon text this morning is taken from today's gospel reading, the death of the holy innocents. Thus far our text. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On Wednesday and Thursday of this past week, our voices rang with holy adoration, singing to our newborn King. This morning, we opened up our service by singing a confession of faith unto our God. We praise you and acknowledge you to be the Lord. Now it is the first Sunday after Christmas, and we see most clearly how the earth receives her King with murder and bloodshed. When God acts mightily in history, the devil acts to counter that. Satan tries to destroy what God builds. And when grace comes into the world, the cross isn't very far behind. Today is the other side of Christmas. He was of the house and line of David, but the house and line of David had fallen on hard times. The angels sang at his birth, but he was wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger. At his circumcision, he was received into the people of the covenant, but it brought to him physical pain and the humiliation of God being placed under the law which he himself had established. When Simeon saw the infant Jesus, he thanked God for salvation, but he also foresaw the sword that would pierce Mary's heart too. Throughout all of his blessed life, Jesus was always the Lamb of God. He was always the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the Son of God would humble himself in all things on his way to the cross. When the Magi appeared looking for the newborn King, already hatred began to burn within the heart of Herod. Almost at once, he formed his plan of assassination. And the wise men from the east, having failed to return to Herod to give him the information he wanted, Herod's murderous anger rose and rose and grew. And the hatred of hell burned high, and the enmity of the devil, smoldering since the promise of a Savior, flared up against the woman's seed. That great dragon, called the devil, was poised to devour and kill Mary's son. Surely the lightning of God could have seared the evil heart out of Herod, but the Son of God humbled himself to endure the hatred of his enemies. To be protected from this plot on his life, God humbled himself. He humbled himself to be at the hands and the mercy of others. An angel warned Joseph to flee to Egypt because Herod was about to seek for the child to kill him. That pious man, Joseph, at once fulfilled his sacred responsibility to care for the welfare of this holy child. And he didn't even wait till the morning. He woke his family up in the middle of the night, and they fled that very night to Egypt. Bethlehem is now left minus one baby boy. And yet, even the innocent babies and toddlers of Bethlehem served the Christ child as martyrs, satisfying the bloodthirstiness of Herod and convincing Herod that he had successfully eliminated his rival to the throne. Joseph, Mary, angels, the children, all creatures of him whom they served and protected. He humbled himself and he accepted their help. The Almighty and Omniscient God assumed the weaknesses and the helplessness of a little child whose servants must shelter and defend. Even greater than that was the humility of the flight itself. that the Son of God should give way before the persecution of inferior enemies, that he should flee for safety, that he should somehow be driven from his home and live in a land that was remembered by his people as the place of persecution and slavery. There is a humility and a lowliness there that it is a marvel to behold. This humility and this flight of Christ is still reflected in God's people today. As Herod raged against the child, so the world still rages against Christ and his church wherever it finds an opportunity. The sword, bloodshed, and persecution are never far from the church. As the Son of God accepted flight and exile as part of his life, we Christians are strangers and pilgrims here on earth. And so the church and those who preach the gospel have been driven from place to place by hatred and unbelief. But there is more than deep humility before us through the gloom that appears. There is the glory of God. St. Matthew tells us that the flight into Egypt happened that prophecy might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. Jesus is Israel reduced to one person. What all of Israel was supposed to do and failed to do, Jesus did and Jesus accomplished. Thus Hosea had foretold of the dwelling of Jesus in the land of the Pharaohs. No less than three times the gospel shows us the connection between prophecy and fulfillment. There is divine glory in that this child is no ordinary child. The persecution of this child, the persecution of the infant Jesus, was part of his suffering for our sins. By his suffering, we have been redeemed from our sins of hatred, of contempt, and indifference, and neglect of the gospel. Yet in this connection between prophecy and fulfillment, our faith is strengthened, and our absolute dependency is shown upon the inerrant word of God, for the scripture cannot be broken. God also achieved victory over his enemies. The wise men left by another route and went not back to Herod. God protected his son for God's appointed time. God protected his son, for Jesus would not die before Jesus was intended to die. And we know when Jesus was intended to die. We know that he was intended to die upon the cross as the propitiation or the payment for all our sins. Let the enemies of Christ and his church plot devilishly. Let them be violently brutal. God still affects the affairs of this world to its final victory of his kingdom, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against his kingdom. But what of those children at Bethlehem? How does their cruel slaughter contribute anything to the glory of God, to the glory of Christ, for whose safety they were sacrificed? The church has always considered these children to be the first martyrs of the Christian faith, that they found in an honor to give their lives, that we may be certain of their reward in heaven because of the manner of their death. As the second verse of our hymn said, Rachel, weep not, for your children are at rest and they are in glory. God always watches over his own. And as he does, sometimes he permits persecution and bloodshed to fall upon us. He permits violence to rage against the church. And he permits the blood of the martyrs to flow freely through the earth. But never is a martyr's death a sign of defeat. And never is a martyr's death the sign of a dishonorable death. It is a Christian's glory to suffer for the Lord. The blood of the martyrs has ever been the seed of the church. And when in eternity the books of heaven are revealed and the names of the children of Bethlehem and the names of all who have followed them into martyrdom, will shine in beautiful radiance to the everlasting glory of the Lamb victorious. Despite all opposition, the plan of God must be fulfilled. The infant Jesus is again led from Egypt to Nazareth. He returned to his own. Nazareth has been determined as his home, and to Nazareth he must be brought. Thus it will be with all who follow Jesus. The path of the Christian may lead through persecution. It may lead through suffering and pain and grief. It may bring nights of bitter tears. It may lead through dangers and distresses, and it may lead into unfriendly places. But in the end, the road of the Christian must bring them home. It must bring them home. To we who believe the account of the flight of Egypt, it is a comfort, for it is a record of our Lord's humiliation, and it is a mighty encouragement to endurance and endurance to our revelation of glory. In all of its lowliness, it still shows us the glory of the Lord that he has promised to share with us. And so as we look at the death of the innocents in Bethlehem, as we look at the trials and tribulations that the church faces, that we face, let us be sure that this will lead to our glory. Let us be sure that what is done for our benefit and not for our harm. And let us see in the end that God has in mind for us only that which is best and good for us. And that in the end, we shall be brought to the glory of life everlasting and to the songs and majesty of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds to the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of our offertory.
Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois. We have just heard Reverend Mark A. Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zionclink.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member of the congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for prayer. We pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected your praise. Silence the enemy and the avenger. Turn the hearts of all who, like Herod, would despise children or destroy the unborn for selfish gain. Show your forgiveness to those who are penitent. Give your comfort to all women who mourn the loss of infants. And fix our eyes on Christ, who for a time was spared, but has shed his blood for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you appoint leaders and give the responsibility of authority to them. Protect our nation and its leaders. Grant them wisdom in the pursuit of justice. Bring your gift of peace in the world and give relief to those who suffer oppression. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, all that we have comes from you. Give us grateful hearts so that we may receive your gifts with joy and use them wisely for your glory. May our worship this day be pleasing in your sight. We also, O Lord, thank you this day for the gift of doctors and hospitals and all those things, medicines that you use to strengthen our bodies. We ask you to hear our prayers for any who this week are facing surgeries, that they are concerned or worried about the problems they have, and they seek, O Lord, health and healing from your hand through their doctors and their nurses and their medicine. Guide the hand this week of all surgeons, blessing them for the labor that they do. Lord, in your mercy. God of all consolation, in your wisdom, you have seen fit to call the soul of Betty Schmidt to yourself in heaven. You have given her her peace. We also ask your mercy upon Jeanette Johnson as she grieves the death of her niece Kim, as Kim passed away this morning early from ALS. And we ask that you would receive her into the heavenly realms to be comforted there from her trials on earth. We pray also that you would comfort John Beckew and his family as they mourn the death of Cindy, his wife. We ask, O Lord, that you would comfort Betty's, Cindy's, and Kim's family and friends as they mourn their deaths, giving them comfort in their resurrection on the last day and an eternity in glory with you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you are the bringer of true joy. Grant your Holy Spirit to increase and sustain us in this joy and thanksgiving throughout the days of Christmas season, until that day when at last Christ returns in his glory as the Lord and Judge of all. Lord, in your mercy. Hear us, O Lord, for we are the people of your promise and the children whom you have redeemed through the salvation accomplished through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who has taught us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee. keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace. As we mentioned in the prayers, Betty Schmidt passed away, and Betty's service is Friday, January 2nd, from a visitation from 9 to 11, and then a funeral service at 11 a.m. And my wife wanted me, she's seen the grandson, so she wanted me to remind everybody that she's hosting a baby shower open house for Rachel Bright, and that'll be this coming Saturday at 1 in the afternoon over in the auditorium, and all the ladies of the congregation are invited to attend that open house and shower. In the auditorium there's a couple tables full of books. The McConnells were looking through their kids' books and things like that at home, and they brought in a bunch, and free for the taking. So take a look over there. I haven't looked at it yet, see what's over there, but take a look over there and see if there's any books you might like to take home with you. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.